echte ervaring. Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Yo. Mic check.
Yo.
Episode, is this 90?
95.
Episode live 95.
Yes.
Motherfuckers, we back in the building. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, it's on and popping. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. Yo, you know what I wonder? Mm-hmm. You just said not live 95. What made them stop like naming it? Because like before that, they were like, you know, it wasn't live 94,
right? No, it was.
I don't think so. I think it was the NBA Live 95 or 90. Yeah,
you know what it was? It was like Bulls versus Lakers.
Yeah, Bulls, Blazers. And they did Live 95,
and then they started running parallel to each other because like Bulls Blazers was 93.
Yeah, I think so.
And then, you know, whatever 94 was. What the fuck was the 94 game?
I don't know. Because they didn't do a Bulls versus... but it might have just been like NBA 94 or some shit like that.
Because
it wasn't Bulls versus Suns.
Yeah, I feel like that's easily Googleable, but... Googleable, but, you know.
You have your laptop open, I have my phone open, but neither one of us is going to check.
We're not doing that. We're not checking in.
Do your own Googles. What do we look like?
Get the fuck out of here. We don't work for y'all.
We're not a fucking card catalog? Come on, man.
Low key, that's my shit now, but I don't work for y'all, motherfuckers. You saying that to people? I definitely said that to somebody on Facebook. I can't shout out to whoever that is. They were like, "Oh, you should do XYZ." I was like, "No, I work for y'all."
No.
The fuck? But yeah.
I'm an independent contractor.
Rucks. More than you ever did. Like a motherfucker. But yeah, it's been I don't know. It's
well, today's the first day it ain't rained in 3 days straight. So I mean, listen, that's good.
On a Tuesday, it's not beautiful out, but it's like cool.
Yeah.
It's okay. Because, yeah, like you said, the last few days have been like...
It literally rained for like 3 days straight.
It's fucking water world out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I DJed at Spruce Street Harbor Park.
Yes.
on Saturday.
The lovely Alex Holly was there. Shout out Alex Holly. What's
up? Taurus Queen. But I'm in the Zodiac shit too, if y'all don't know. But it was cool. It was like... you know, like the waterfront.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people in hammocks and shit. It's like real flies, like little kids running around. And then it's just me like spinning or whatever. It's like elders dancing, young people dancing. It was real fun. But it started to rain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the sound guy because there's no stage. We're just out like floor level.
Oh, just floor level? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like... catching wreck on the turntables, and I'm looking at the sound guy and he's giving me like the keep going, but like the drizzles are happening. So I'm looking at him and the event coordinator. I'm like, hey, it's raining
and
out here.
You weren't playing vinyl, right? No,
I was playing off of Serato.
Okay.
So I was like on turntables.
Yeah, but I
didn't bring records. Nah. Yeah.
So still,
I had
you got
a computer.
Your laptop out there, like
right. So I'm sitting there. It's a little light drizzle, and I know my computer pretty well. So I'm like, okay, this isn't gonna damage my computer, but I'm like, I'm not fitting to sit out here in the fucking rain.
They also aren't fitting to give you $1,000 if it does fuck your computer up,
right? So I'm like looking at the sound guy, and he's like, he gives me like the hold on, I got you. So I'm thinking, okay, they're gonna shut this thing down. Homeboy comes over with like a big plastic bag on my computer, and like it's like folks dancing. I'm already feeling the spirit, and I don't really want to stop.
Yeah,
but my rational part of my mind is like, dickhead, stop DJing when it's fucking drizzling out. So I put the bag over my computer, and I'm just like just mixing, just like just playing by ear and not looking. Cause I don't want to lift, the bag up. But luckily, it's stopped. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was all good. It was like little light, little drizzle on my computer. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'd be definitely afraid to bring my computer out in the fucking rain.
I'm braver about it now than I was before.
I don't know why that is. Yeah, you know, I think we have like the same computer. So like they're super light too. Like they're not, they don't even feel like heavy duty computers and shit. So they're not like they're not like, you don't feel like, oh, like my work computer, well, my old job's computer, like the work computer I had at my old job, that shit was like the military grade joint. Like I felt like I could throw that shit up against walls and that shit would be cool.
Right.
It had like, it literally had like the combat shell shit on it. It's like that shit was like a turtle with a fucking like keyboard on it. So I wasn't worried about it. Like my shit, like that MacBook, I'd be definitely afraid some shit would happen.
Right. Yeah.
As soon as that shit would have dropped a rain, I'd have been like, yo, wrap it up.
Yeah. Oh, I was ready. Like I was like, okay, you know, I'm feeling the spirit, you know, I'm rocking or whatever, but this this rain persists.
Yeah, y'all got the insurance deductible for this fucking computer, dog. Because this shit fucking goes, I'm gonna be pissed.
And really, I should be, you know, like a professional and have a insurance on my own shit.
Who cares?
You know what I'm saying? But
the onus is never on me.
It's always somebody else. You know what I mean? But it was cool. It was like it was fun. It was fun. Like I started out spinning like block parties and shit and playing outside. So anytime,
like that same vibe.
Yeah. Anytime I could get the chance to like play outside. And I love intergenerational.
Fun. So see like kids and then older folks.
Elders. Like at one point I was legit spinning like block party, like Bronx breaks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like James Brown, stuff like that, Jimmy Castor bunch, and it legitimately, it was like kids and like older kids having like breakdance battles and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they was like b-boying and like up rocking, and one kid was like spinning on his back and shit. Like it was like, it was a dope official time, you know what I mean? And you know, like nice money for 3 hours worth of work.
I ain't bet.
It was love, yeah. It was all good.
Yeah, I ain't do much this weekend, man. Like, my daughter had a game, so we did that. And then, like, you know, it's Mother's Day. And
shout out to all the moms.
I actually had the kids over at my house because their mother went away. But then I, you know, fell into a deep, deep depression on Sunday.
Mm. Yeah.
Because our beloved Sixers.
Fucking Sixers,
I'm still slightly in mourning.
Yeah.
The Western Conference final starts. Now, the only good thing is the Blazers beat the Jazz.
Yeah.
So, or the Nuggets, excuse me. They beat the Nuggets. So at least one of my, like, I've always been like a low key Blazers fan since and them was there.
Right.
Shout out to the Jail Blazers, my man Bonzi Wells.
Bonzi Wells. Shout out to Bonzi Wells, nigga. We named this episode The Ballad of Bonzi Wells. Jesus.
Yeah, so I was always like a low key like Blazers fan.
Right.
So I kind of was like, I root for them low key. And I love my man Dame.
Dame,
Dame, CJ went to Lehigh, which ain't far from Philly. Like,
listen, Dame could ball and he could rap.
Yeah.
He like the perfect nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Shout out to him. So I'm going to watch tonight and hopefully they take down Team Light Skinned and
Team.
Hello.
I'm at it now.
Hopefully they take them down. And my son's staying with me for the week. Dog, legit, I almost heard him on Sunday, y'all.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard
When Kawhi hit that game winner, dog.
For context, the Sixers game 7 against the Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard hits one of the, and I saw Jordan in his prime.
You know
what I'm saying? One of the greatest buzzer beaters I've ever seen in life. I saw Jordan in his prime. I saw Kobe in his prime. I almost never seen no shit like that happen live in real time. It was ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
And when that happened, my son jumped up and was like, oh, yeah! and like ran around the living room into his room and back and shit. Like, dog, I legit.
He's like ringing the bell.
Yeah. He took his phone out and he's like, "Oh, look at my dad's reaction." Oh, and I'm like,
"Snapchat, look at my pops." He went on live.
Yeah. I legit was like, "All right." I was like,
"Kill you in your sleep."
Yeah, I was like, legit thought about like crushing up glass, putting in his food for the, in like oatmeal for him in the morning, dog.
Oh,
like, legit.
Man. Oh,
Yeah, he hurt my feelings, dog. Like, I was really upset. So hopefully the Blazers bust that ass tonight and he's sitting right next to me. Dog, you talk, listen.
Oh, yeah. You
I will blast
it.
That on every social media platform, dog. Like,
you got to spice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been sitting with him when, because he's a Patriots fan, too. I wish I would have been sitting with him when the Eagles won, dog.
Yeah.
I wish I texted him like, damn, sorry about that. Bye, bye. And he,
sorry, your team is trash.
He had text back like, it's cool, man. We already got a bunch of rings. It's no problem. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
why is he a Patriots fan?
His mom is.
Come on.
I have no idea why she is.
Philly folks that are Patriots fans and Cowboys fans are like an enigma to me. Are y'all just like contrarians?
Especially
or?
Cowboys fans, I don't understand, because like, unless you're like our age, you didn't see them win.
See the window. Yo, I see young niggas.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man Demetrius. why are you a Cowboys fan, bro?
Yeah.
What did they win in your lifetime?
Nothing.
Like, we love you. What did they win in your lifetime,
and
bro?
Even when they won when we were young, they were like, we were real young. We were like early, not even teenagers yet.
Come on.
It's like, what could you really like love from that?
Dog, the Cowboys. The last chip that they won, I ain't had hair on my nuts.
Yeah.
Like, what are y'all celebrating? What are y'all riding for?
I know a girl whose dad is she told me, she was like, oh, I'm a Cowboys fan, blah, blah, blah. Like, we knew each other on social media. She was like, oh, she's a Cowboys fan. And I was like, so when we, like, the first time we hung out, I was like, oh, I was like, your dad's a Cowboys fan, ain't he? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I kind of figured like that's the only way.
He raised
like,
you in this cult of
nonsense.
Because
she's a couple years younger than us, so like definitely had to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, you weren't like, you didn't grow up when they were any good.
You didn't see Tony Dorsett.
No. Like,
back in
like,
the day.
You were like seven when they won a chip. Like,
come on.
Nah. But, yeah, I mean, my weekend was all right. I didn't talk about last week, like, getting two needles in the back of my head, did I?
No, I don't think you did.
Those who don't know, like, I had talked about before, like, I was in an accident, car accident not too long ago. My back's all fucked up. And I've been getting headaches from it. So, because I have, like, pinched nerves and shit like that, and herniated discs and all types of dumb shit like that.
Jesus.
My doctor was like, well, we could give you like a needle to help with the headaches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool. So he comes out the office, he comes back, and the assistant comes in and he's like, all right, lay your face down on the thing. And I'm like, for what? And they were like, because we got to get the needles in the back of your head.
Oh, shit.
I was like, huh? They're like, yeah, we got to give them in the back of your head.
Got to poke you in your brain.
I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. He's like, oh, it doesn't really hurt, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's going to be in the back of my head.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
I'm assuming it hurts. So, like, they gave it to me. They were pain. They hurt. They're not, like, crazy, because it's just, like, the crazy thing is you feel like, you know how, like, you give, like, a needle and you can kind of feel like, oh, at first you feel like a little bit of the juice or whatever in the needle going into you. Feeling like the juice or whatever, like, going into the back of my head was a weird experience. But I was actually, before I came down here, I had to go to, like, get my, like, annual physical shit. Mm-hmm. So I was at my doctor's and I was telling her what they did or whatever. And she was like, oh, it was probably Botox. Like, that's what they use a lot of times. I was like, oh, shit, so the back of my head going to be looking like 10 years younger.
Man, smooth.
I ain't going to have, like, that pack of, like, the hot dog pack, like, the dudes be having in the back of their crib. Legit. Like,
tell
my
me
shit all smoothed out.
Tell me why we be in the crib and Lissa, like, come up behind me and, like, bite the hot dog. Like, on my neck. I'm like, yo, don't do that. It's fucking creepy. Don't do it.
Yeah. Nah, my shit's all smoothed out in the dark. I got, like, the back of my head, like, 10 years younger out here.
I love that you, like, rub it.
Looking smooth out here, dog. Like, woo.
Yo.
Like, I still look like I'm like 30 something in the grill, but my back of my head,
listen,
I'm still in my 20s, B.
Come on. It's like 9/11 back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucked up that when I think of like our early 20s, I think of like 9/11.
I mean, it's a seminal moment.
So fucked up.
The crazy thing is when people say 9/11, I go, oh yeah, that's the day the Blueprint came out.
Yeah, it did.
And Fabulous' first album.
Dog, I don't even know if I should say this shit. Y'all motherfuckers be jumping in my mentions. I never rocked with Fab.
For real?
I never rocked with Fab.
I never got like for a while, folks was like really running Fab. Just a few years ago, folks was like, oh, yo, the
niggas. You ever see niggas, I don't mean to cut your thought off, you ever see niggas that'll like post a little meme and it'll be like, Hov, Nas, Big, Fabulous. Yeah, and be like one gotta go.
I'm Fab, real easy.
Like, what? It's like, that's like, what's the criteria for Fab being in it? Come on. Back.
No, that's the song I know from that Breed. The two songs I know from the dude.
Right. Which are dope songs.
Yeah.
Like, he got records and he can rap. He's never been, I don't like
me, your super woman. Oh,
I feel like I mentioned this on the podcast a few weeks ago. Me and Alyssa was in Brewery Town and we was like walking up the street and we definitely saw Lil Mo.
For real?
And her husband.
I didn't know she lives here.
She is totally a Philly joy.
For real?
She be like garbed up and shit.
Oh, I do remember hearing that.
She's 1,000% a Philly joy. And we're like,
I was about to say that she got the big braids still, like, you know, big like blue braids.
Right. Like she's like if you would have told me like, oh, she from here, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. She's not from here, but she definitely lives here.
Yeah.
Well, we were like, we went to Brewery Town Beats and then we went to like lunch or something and we're walking up the street and I'm like gibbering, jabbering, rah, 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 whatever. And this couple is walking towards us and I'm looking at the dude. I didn't pay too much attention to sis, but I'm looking at dude. I'm like, that nigga looks familiar. He had like braids and shit. I was like, did I like work with dude at like UPS or something? Saying, or, like, see him at NOB back in the day? I was like, that dude is familiar. And Lissa looks at the Jordan and she's like, hey, Lil Mo. Lil Mo's like, hey. I'm like, oh shit, that is Lil Mo. And I knew dude from like being on that reality show because we used to watch this shit when I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, we definitely, why were you talking about the, oh, cause of the Fabulous. Why are we talking about Lil Mo? But yeah, if you come to Philadelphia,
it's a chance you see Lil Mo.
You don't live here, you might run into like Lil Mo, EST, Gritty.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the ghost of Frank Rizzo. Who the fuck knows if you live here.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what's been going on in the news this week?
What's on deck? Well, first of all, we got to say Free Sawd.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know Sawd's full name. I'm not even going to.
And for folks out there who don't know, like, she's the Camel Prime mom. She's the one who did the Camel Prime.
If you remember.
2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago, she staged an elaborate prom send-off for her son.
Yeah.
It was like Dubai meets Philly.
Yeah, Dubai comes to Philly or something.
Yeah,
like
so she was
what
like,
I was afraid of is that my kid's mom would definitely be like, oh, I want to have that for V. And I'm like, no.
We don't have camel money.
Yeah, there's no camel money here, dog.
It's not happening. But she and then she also did another prom send-off.
Yes.
This is like her thing.
Yeah.
She's from North Philly. She does these elaborate prom send-offs. She also does like charitable stuff.
Yeah.
She did like a Wakanda comes to North Philly kind of thing. She had like Black Panther and like the Dora Milaje and like it was like a whole, she had a legitimate like Black Panther that she rented. She's like the hood P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
So recently she got in trouble because what was she collecting? Like disability?
I think,
yeah, she's a business owner, but she probably was like getting disability for years. You know what I mean? And, you know, collecting that, but also getting like her regular income. So the powers that be saw fit to like charge her for fraud. But you know, they were talking about like throwing mad years at her, you know, in prison. But to me, it's a blessing that she was just sentenced to probation,
house arrest.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because to me, one, steal from the government if you can.
Yes.
Two, it's a victimless crime. Three, this is a person that does beyond anything that she took out of these, like, you know, this disability check that she was getting. This is a person that does like infinite good in her community. And I don't think it ever should have been a situation, you know, where she was facing prison time. The Philadelphia, like, city government is beyond corrupt. Yeah. If you remember a few years ago when John Street was in office, a lot of, you know, city council and, like, members of his cabinet were, like, indicted by the feds.
Yeah, the feds had his office bugged. Like,
come on.
Though there was a recently there was a councilman who was told they couldn't hire their sister when they were wanted to run.
Yeah.
So he like rerouted. He got in office a week later, rerouted money to go to her. Now he's getting locked up. Like, and his seat's up for grabs now.
Right.
Like, in this area and shit. Like, literally, like, like the city government is corrupt as fuck. Like, you know what I mean?
Like a motherfucker.
Street like, was like giving out like shit to his brother. Like, no big contracts.
Yeah. Like, come on. This city has been corrupt since they founded this motherfucker. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I shout out to Saw, like, free Saw that she's not going to prison.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's cool. But, yeah, the fact that they even tried it is offensive to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she stole, what, like a few $1,000 in fucking disability? Let her pay it back.
Yeah.
She already paid it back.
Yeah.
You still going to, like, try to lock her up? Like, get out of here.
Get out of here. No, that's nutty, dog.
Nah. But yeah, also we gotta talk about this shit.
Yes.
Apparently the Ghetto Boys, pioneering Texas based hip hop group, you know, are reuniting for a final tour in honor of their member Bushwick Bill, who was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and supposedly they can't like diagnose pancreatic cancer until it's stage 4. Like,
which
they don't
is
have
insane.
Like they don't get it until it's stage 4. So yeah. Like, you're essentially a death sentence as soon as you get it.
Jesus. I don't even understand how that's feasible or like possible.
It's crazy. And he, I mean, talk about, like, he survived like a gunshot to the eye and shit like that. Dude,
right.
Like, has been,
he's
through,
been
it.
Through it. Jesus.
Probably, and you know, like, being a little person, like, he's probably had all types of health issues already.
Yeah.
Jesus. And they had been broken up for a long time. They hadn't been doing anything together for
right.
a long time. So it shows like the power and brotherhood. Like, these dudes had, you know, made seminal classics. And
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Even like whatever issues they have are probably like, yo, we got to get this shit together. Cause like, you know, his family needs money and shit like that. Dude's
right.
look like a grandfather and shit. Like,
right.
you know what I mean?
Jesus.
So it's a good thing, like, that they were able to come together. Like, I would love to, if they come to Philly, I would love to go see them.
Yeah, hell yeah. I never got to see them as
no,
a kid.
Me neither.
So, yeah. It sucks that it's under these circumstances.
Yeah, it sucks.
That, you know, they go out back out on the road, but, you know, like you said, it's a show of brotherhood, solidarity. So that's cool. But yeah, it's terrible. It makes me think of the situation with A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah,
Fife wasn't as healthy, and you know, they got it together to make that last album that they put out. But you know, for years they were not, you know, not really fucking with each other. Which I guess it happens. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I'm waiting on the day when you and I are like, no, fuck with that motherfucker.
Fuck with that dude.
You know what I mean? That's any any partnership, or at least most of the time. You know,
crazy thing
I mean?
Is, with both of our health, like it could be either one of us who's fucking we're reunited because we have some kind of like detrimental disease.
That's so fucked up. Not me, dog. I'm fit to go vegan. You know what I ate today for lunch? I ate just greens and black beans.
For real?
That's all I ate.
You saw it. I had some M&M's when I came in the crib.
But I say that, like, but when you came in,
you burnt cookies.
I was literally burning a fucking sheet of cookies when you walked in.
I thought that was going to be the new vibe. I come over, you have cookies you made and shit. Like,
I could do that.
I mean, I ate M&M's, but I am drinking water. So I think that kind of balances out.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Dog, I know motherfuckers that don't drink water.
I know. I
know. That's like, insane.
Yeah, like, listen. I don't like the taste of it. Like, it's water.
Get out of here. Years ago, I said to myself, I was like, all right, you don't like to exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you used to be vegetarian. You lost mad weight. Now you're back on, like, chicken and fish. You eating fried chicken and shit. You at least got to drink water. I drink mad water. Yo.
Yeah, I do. I drink a decent, I really, when I was working, when I had my other job, I drank more water. Now that I'm in the house, I don't drink as much just because like I'm in the house and I have other shit. But yeah. I forced myself over the last like 2 weeks to drink more water like I was when I was at work.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm like, oh, I want to drink more. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't need to be drinking nothing else. Like, the only other thing I really drink is, like, I drink that V8 super green shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That way I get, like, the greens.
I drink water and beer. Yeah. And occasionally...
champagne?
Occasionally champagne and, like, juices.
Yeah.
Because, like, two juice spots right close to us. Yeah, but I'm not fucking with soda. Like, real shit, I ain't got so bougie with it. When a motherfucker pull out a soda next to me, I kind of like recoil. Ugh,
this
fucking soda.
You don't love yourself?
Yeah, I'm not drinking no motherfucking soda.
Say like someone pulled out coke sitting next to you, like some heroin or something. Like, yo,
dog, we was in Princeton. I feel like I talked about this when it happened. But my man MH, shout out MH, he hit me up and was like, yo, you trying to go up to Princeton to play this like frat party kind of situation? So I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not booked that night, whatever. So we rode up to Princeton. We're like on, it's like Animal House type shit. We like roll up, we're like the band. And it's like all of these like, you know, Princeton kids. They're like drinking and eating and shit. And the one John who's like the liaison takes us upstairs to the green room. The green room is, it's just like this shady attic kind of room in this like frat house kind of thing. So we're up there and it's legit like a room full of young Johns like next to us doing coke in the next room, and they like getting live in that motherfucker like like fucking it up, and I'm sitting there drinking a pitcher of beer ready to play this set of like weird experimental hip hop. I'm looking around, I'm like, dog, I always think when I'm in like a weird situation, I imagine, like, yo, imagine if, like, you know how on, not Sliders, but Quantum Leap?
Yes.
When he would just wake up in a new scenario? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would be like, yo, imagine if me from, like, 8 weeks ago just woke up in this scenario. Or me from 9 years ago woke up in this scenario. I'm in this, like, wild looking ass room with like giant vaginas painted all on the walls, and I'm drinking a pitcher of beer, and there's like a room full of white women next to me doing coke. Like, imagine if I just like popped into that scenario.
You definitely think you were like in a rock band in the 70s or something,
or in a rock band in 2006. Who the fuck knows? But yeah,
now I told you this story of the last time I was hanging out with somebody who did coke.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell that story on this podcast because I listen, there's some things I won't say.
Oh, no.
But if you ever want to hear the story of the last time someone was around me and was like, yo, you want some coke? I was like, no, I'm good. Like, you know,
I'm chilling.
Like, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, like, you know.
Definitely come and ask me. That's how you see me in the streets. Listen, yeah. I can't tell that story. There's a couple people who do know that story, but I can't tell that story on air, dog. Just for like, I got kids, man. Like, every story can't be out there.
Listen, we not out here snitching.
Nah.
So that's a whole other thing. Do we have to talk about Logic and Eminem?
Yes.
Well, I'll let you take the lead on that. I have very little comment.
Did you listen to the song?
No. No, I did not. I didn't listen to it.
You don't do your homework for the podcast, man.
I do so much for this fucking podcast.
I did. I knew you weren't going to listen.
Jesus.
I saw people bitching about it, and I was like, I didn't even know they were doing this all together.
Oh, yeah, because he has somebody like dropping the N-word in the beginning. Or does he drop the N-word
in the
beginning?
It might be him, yeah. I don't know.
But Logic, not Eminem.
No, not Eminem. I think Eminem has learned that lesson.
Eminem, y'all niggas. Eminem, and I can say it because I'm black. Eminem had a whole record dropping multiple N-bombs when he was a young boy.
Yeah.
And Benzino exposed him, and y'all let him cook.
I mean, that's probably because Benzino exposed him. Everybody was like, so?
Benzino could find like a sex tape of Trump and people be like, it's
no one cares.
Yeah.
A dog, it's bad. Like, it's just like,
it's gotta be nonsense.
It's just rap fast type shit. Like, listen, both of them are technically good rappers. Like, you know what I mean? And I've never really listened to Logic before. Like, I've heard him on stuff, but I've never listened to him.
I heard that Wu-Tang song he did that was bad.
But he's like, it's just like, I don't want to hear, like, just do it. And it's all that, like, you know, super lyrical, spiritual miracle, but like more. Yeah. More like, you know, murder bodies. And it's just like, dude, I don't care about any of that shit. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, the beat's whack.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good song. But listen, I don't really like to do Logic. Everybody who listens to this podcast knows our stance on Eminem.
Come on.
So, I was just like, I wanted to hear it because I heard so many people saying how bad it was. I was like, right. I need to hear this.
Jesus.
Then he, comes out like a couple days later and is like, yo, I'm tired of getting sample clearances.
I didn't know y'all niggas was still using it. I think y'all beats don't sound like it.
He was like, yo, I'm tired of getting sample clearances. Like, why do I gotta pay all these older artists? Like, because they fucking made the music.
They made the music, dog. Like, they made the music.
Like, you're using their music. Like, what do you think? Like, how do you think that works?
Imagine I want to see Logic wake up one day and, like, fucking Google is using, like, three of his songs in multiple ads across multiple platforms, and then we have this conversation of why do I have to pay to clear music.
Disney took his music and was like, yo, we want to use your music to do this.
Yeah, your song's in the fucking Lion King now, nigga,
and you don't
and
get paid.
You don't gotta get paid for it. Like, full disclosure, I grew up with sampling. Nobody's trying to sue me because none of my shit's ringing off like that. For them, it wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of stuff, I've released records with uncleared samples. The shit didn't make no money no way. You know what I mean? And I do have that kind of like copyright criminal kind of mentality culturally in on some like, yo, I'm just flipping samples or whatever. But like, if you're on that level and you're releasing music, nigga, you pay for samples.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They playing your shit all around the world. You pay for fucking samples. Like, that's the game.
Yep.
Get out of here. Like, I understand that, you know, you rant and you vent out of frustration that's a silly hill to die on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a silly hill to die on, to me at least.
He's like, oh, I'm just going to go back to doing mixtapes because then I ain't have to worry about it. It's like, yeah, but the whole thing is nowadays, they'll throw your mixtape on a Tidal or some or Spotify.
Yeah.
And if they do that, you're still going to have to pay for that sample or they're going to sue the fuck out of you. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like, yo, just clear the sample, dude. Like,
come on.
You know what I mean? That's how it works.
Yeah, it's a fucking game.
You know, and listen, there's been dope records that have like not seen a light of day because like a song couldn't get the sample clearance. Listen, like, you know what I mean? Nigga. Shit, if any of y'all was around like early internet days, a lot of y'all had the original version of Nas's I Am that had like a bunch of classics on it that they had to rip off because they didn't get sample clearances for them.
Supreme Clientele.
Yeah.
Which was still amazing. You know what I mean? And the one after that, Bulletproof Wallets. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Yeah, Wu had a big problem with sample clearance stuff.
Yeah.
And
they're probably more friendly. I feel like the game is probably more friendly to it now.
Oh, yeah.
Than it was years later. Because there was one point when, like, the Beasties did, like, Paul's Boutique or, like, Public Enemy made It Takes a Nation of Millions. And then even stuff earlier than that. Nobody was clearing anything.
Yeah.
You listen to like a Jungle Brothers record, there was like 30 samples every beat. You know what I'm saying? Because they were just layering samples on top of one another and they didn't have to worry about a lot of clearance. Then you got to the point where the landmark case against it was Biz Markie versus Gilbert O'Sullivan, which, you know, revolutionized sample clearance and copyright law. So now everybody has to pay. Yeah. You still had some stuff. People were like filtering and chopping shit and freaking shit. So, you know,
trying to hide samples.
Trying to hide the samples. So that became part of the game. But then, you know, by the time we got to like the 2000s, everybody was clearing everything. You had to.
Not everybody, because didn't, what you call it? Uptown Baby. Didn't they try to get away with that sample?
Yeah. But wasn't that like 98? When that record come
maybe
out?
Maybe 98. Yeah, I don't know. That was 98, yeah.
Yeah, they did a fucking Steely Dan sample. But you know,
they made millions off that, dog.
That's crazy. Steely Dan owned that whole shit.
Yeah, what you call it? The Lord Tariq and Peter Guns don't own a piece of that record.
That's crazy. That's what similar thing happened with Diamond D and
trying
to settle the score, shit. Apparently, Diamond, this is what I understand. Diamond made the beat. It's a band called Simande. Diamond made the beat, gave it to the Fugees, and you know, when you turn a record in, they give you like a sheet that says like, all right, what did you sample?
Yeah.
So apparently Wyclef or whoever like was the overseer of that shit, like executive producer, didn't say, oh, this is a Simande sample. So when it came out, Simande, you know, he looped it and just put drums under it. You know what I mean? So motherfuckers heard it and was like, oh, that's our shit. So then they got sued for the shit. You know what I mean? So I don't know what ended up happening legally, but, you know, long story short, you got to clear samples, especially if you're the guy who's on the radio and making fucking songs with Eminem.
Yeah, your logic and you're like that visible. Yeah, got to clear samples, fam.
Got to clear samples.
Or you could just not do big records. Like, you know what I mean?
Don't do any music.
Don't do any music.
Don't make no records.
Don't make no records. No one's going to complain, dog. Like, remember the big outpouring when like Uzi was like, yo, I'm not making records no more.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you ain't going to get that logic inside of it.
Never mind.
We are not going to be safe in Baltimore, dog. Never.
Is he from Baltimore?
I think so, yeah.
I know niggas in Baltimore. Nigga. This reminds me of when Paul Pierce was like in his last season, and Draymond was like, "Nigga, you ain't Kobe. you try to get that farewell tour. They don't love you like they love Kobe." Paul Pierce gonna fuck all y'all up one day, dog. I swear to God, it's gonna
he definitely called his girl cousins to come beat up Michelle Beadle. I'm telling you,
Michelle Beadle need her ass beat, dog. She is so disrespectful. I'm like almost appalled at it when I'm watching. Like Paul Pierce will be making a point, and she'll just be like, "Eh," like in the background with like some snide comment, and I'm watching it like. She is like so disrespectful to this dude. It's something going on with them. Either they hate each other or they're like they love each other.
Yeah.
It's something. It's not normal.
Nah, that's just hilarious though.
Oh man.
I mean, listen, dog. You know, pay for that. You like you're using other people's music. That's how it works, fam. Yeah, like get, you know what I mean. At least on that level, like you said, like when you're not making a big record, you can get away with like flipping shit. But like. You know, you're using big records, dog. You gotta fucking
come on.
Gotta pay, man.
Come on.
Gotta pay the piper, dog. So did you check out? I know the Wu premiered. I think it's all on demand, but like they only showed one episode so far, like on like live Showtime or whatever.
Yeah. Of Mics and Men.
Of Mics and Men.
Wu-Tang docuseries.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and part of the second episode, and it's like. It's really good. I don't want to like talk too much about it because I would really like people should really go check it out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, I'm like super excited to watch it.
Yeah, like I said, I really wouldn't want to get too much into it because I don't want to like ruin it for people. Because like I said, I've really enjoyed what I've watched so far.
Right.
And for people who have watched it all the way through, I've heard nothing but good reviews.
Mm.
So like, I just don't want to. Like ruin every. I think like if you grew up in our era or even a little later, like you probably really enjoy. If you listen to this podcast, you probably really, really enjoy that documentary because it's great so far.
Dog, it's crazy. I've said this before. A lot of the hip hop related media, not like the gossip stuff or like the Lil Yachty. Dissed so and so, or Pete Rock hates the mumble rappers, not that kind of stuff, but like this kind of stuff. Hip Hop Evolution, my man Gino at Microchop just did a really dope article on like the history of pause tapes for Red Bull Music Academy. This kind of like really specific, in depth hip hop media. This is like shit I dreamt about as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have told me, like, yo, there's like a whole Wu-Tang series and, like, you know, a whole documentary series about them as a kid, it would have blew me away. Yeah. I'd be like, yo, are you serious? You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, we've hit that target audience of, like, advertisers. And so that's the perfect reason to start doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, capitalist as that sounds, it's the truth. Like,
right,
people are willing to invest money in stuff because they're like, hey, these people are the target audience for us to sell fucking cars to.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's
amazing.
That's the thing. But you're like, hey, listen, man, like if that's gonna pump money into really great projects, then that's all that really matters.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that joint out.
Yeah,
So we wanted to talk about this. We've on this podcast, we've talked at length about masculinity, consent, sexual and gender dynamics and everything, and how that relates to hip hop culture, how that relates to us as people who grew up in hip hop culture. And I'm hoping that hip hop handles this next subject that we're gonna bring up better than it did the Afrika Bambaataa situation, because they are similar. In a memoir that Common has, it's coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Common wrote, you know, this new memoir that's coming out. He reveals that he was sexually assaulted by a man when he was a child.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And this, one, for being, you know, a horrible act, it got me to thinking about some lines that I've heard from Common I'm thinking from the song Thelonious from not Thelonious, I'm sorry, Nag Champa from Like Water for Chocolate, where he says, there's rumors of gay MCs, just don't come around me with it. See you rocking hickeys, don't let me find out he did it. I wonder how much of a lot of the, I mean, I think that as a society, there's like an overarching sentiment of homophobia.
Yes.
Right. But I wonder how much of the, because even, you know, Common even said, you know, on Thelonious, he does say, you rhyme like a nigga with his nipples pierced, you know, whatever. And he has a few lines that in his, you know, body of work that would be deemed homophobic.
Yes.
That are homophobic. I wonder how much of that stuff has to do with
past trauma.
Trauma, you know what I'm saying? And people, you know, people not knowing how to process or heal from stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a large, it's just why, as hard it is for women to come forward who have been sexually assaulted or young girls who are molested, it's even lower numbers of men that come forward because of the stigma that comes along with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's probably as it is in the toxic society that we live in. Him looking at it, he probably like looks at it and goes like, well, like you struggle with the, well, am I gay or blah, blah, blah. There's guys who like who have been sexually assaulted by men and got erect when it happened or something like that. And then they go like, well, but it's a physical act that your body does. It's not something you're actually trying to do. I mean, there's guys
nothing to do with orientation.
Yeah. There's women that get like, like wet, for lack of a better term, that when a rape happens, it's not because of like they're into it. It's just because it's a natural reaction their body has.
Yeah.
There's no there's so much stigma around it. It is really hard for men to come forward and talk about that kind of
right.
stuff.
He's a brave motherfucker.
Yeah, just to even admit it. I don't want to say admit because like that's like saying he did something wrong. To talk about it.
Right.
Like he was a kid, man. There was nothing he did wrong and there was nothing he did that brought it on or you know, those things are like, those are really traumatic things. It's, you know, honestly, it's probably a part of his healing to even talk about
it. To talk about it, yeah. Yeah.
Because like you really can't like heal from anything like that if you're not talking about it.
Yeah.
Just still hold it and hide it inside. You're still like, it's still burning. It's still a coal burning inside of you.
Yeah. This surprised me that, it just came out, you know, it's in the memoir or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, not to sound cynical, but I'm assuming when knowing how PR works, you know, when they send you out books or whatever, they have like highlighted sections or whatever. I'm assuming they hit journalists and media outlets with like the press release associated with the book. And, you know, they may be like, oh, this is in the book and that's in the book. Oh, and here's a bit about, you know, this situation that he dealt with. And then the media ran with it. They were like running with the story because like these journalists haven't read this book.
Nah.
You ain't read through this whole fucking thing. So somebody hit them with a bullet point on this shit. So, yeah, it's wild. And like I said, at the top of this, I just hope that this conversation, and I have faith that it will be, is more open.
We're a few years removed from that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's more open and more nuanced than the Bambaataa thing. Because the Bambaataa thing, I saw a lot of folks who their takeaway from it wasn't, oh, Bambaataa and men around him you know, Bambada was a predator, and then the people around him, you know, enabled him as a predator. A lot of heads in hip hop, their response to this was, "Oh, Bambada's gay."
Yeah, yeah.
Which this also has nothing to do with orientation at all. But that just shows you where we're at with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I hope, you know, obviously, like, healing for Common as a victim and for all victims. And I hope that we can talk about this better than, you know, than the last time it came around.
Yeah, and hopefully it helps with other people's healing.
Absolutely.
Somebody as visible as Common, who is, you know, a superstar in rap. He's an actor. He's like, you know what I mean? This dude is a visual thing. He's all in fucking ads and shit like that. Like, this dude is a very visible person. As shitty as that is, a lot of times that's where what people need is somebody who's visible and somebody who is, like, more socially accepted to come forward, for them to be able to come forward. Like, you know what I mean? For them to feel okay that it's okay to come forward.
Right.
Yeah. 'Cause listen, man, again, it was probably extremely difficult for him to talk about.
Yeah. I'm sure he, how do I want to say, thought about this, like mulled over this before, you know, putting that pen to the paper and being like, all right, I'm going to tell this part of my story. I'm sure he thought about this shit like a motherfucker and considered not doing it.
Yeah. 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 'Cause it's not easy to talk about, dude. It's a hard thing to talk about. There's a lot of stigma, a lot of social stigma that comes along with it.
Yeah. Which it shouldn't be.
No.
Which,
like,
it shouldn't be.
You know, you should be able to come forward and, you know, you should feel comforted and, you know what I mean? And someone, you know, you should feel comfortable talking about it. And, you know, it's a good thing. I'm glad he was able to feel strong enough to come forward.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, I'm hoping that we're in a place now in society and hip hop culture specifically that we can talk about this without it being like, oh, you're gay, or oh, that was gay, or whatever. Yeah. Like, that whole thing hopefully is, like, removed from the topic at all.
Yeah, it's quiet for that shit. It's quiet for that shit.
Yeah, definitely.
But shout out to Common. I would read his memoir, you know what I mean? I'm not too big on, like, celebrity autobiographies and stuff like that, but yeah, like, I fuck with Common. You know, like, we grew up on this dude.
You know
what I'm saying? So yeah, I would check it out. Do you wanna wrap up?
Yeah, we can start rapping.
Okay. What have you been listening to?
I listened to that new Nas and Mary J single.
Hey, is it
Thriving?
Good? Yeah.
I haven't heard it. Yeah, pretty good.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. I enjoyed it.
I fuck with Nas and Mary.
Yeah.
I ain't mean to say it like, yo, you sure?
You sure,
like,
it's good?
Yeah, nah.
I don't really fuck with Nas like that, so you sure it's good?
Nah. That's not what I was trying to say at all.
Nah, it's good, man. I enjoy it. You know what
okay.
I mean?
And I'm
like,
I'm
think everything they do is, them two have done together has been great. So
Nas and Mary, what's the jaw? Love is all
we
need. Like, that's a classic record.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I dug it. And I guess it's a new Mary record, I think. I know they're going on tour together.
Yeah.
Which I would actually love to. I've saw Mary a ton of times.
I've never seen Mary.
Really? I saw her like 5 or 6 times.
What?
Yeah.
I've never seen Mary J. Blige
I was like
live.
Head over heels in love with Mary at one point.
Oh,
like
yeah.
In the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw her a bunch of times.
Shit.
One time she actually pointed at me when I was in the crowd. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? I'll tell you this much. I wouldn't have took half your shit, Mary.
Listen.
Like, maybe like a quarter. Like, Mary, you know what I mean? Wow.
Mary, stop fucking with these bum dudes.
Yeah.
Fuck with my man.
Come I'm on. Like half a bum.
Yo.
Yeah, no, but it's dope. So, like, you know what I mean? I would say check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I've been fucking with two records mainly. DJ Rhetmatic from the Beat Chunkies just put out Loops, Chops, Beats, and Vibes Volume 2. It's like a joint he put out for his birthday, which is real fly. and Diamond D, Dime Piece 2. Let me just run down like some of the
who's on there.
Yeah, the guests he got on this joint. He got Buckshot, Steel from Smith & Wesson, Rock.
Coco Brothers, brother. Coco Brothers.
They went back to Smith & Wesson.
Oh, they did? I didn't know they went back.
They went back. Rock from Helter Skelter is on it. Pharrell Monch got a crazy record on it.
For real?
Yeah, it's called OMG. It's Pharrell Monch, it really... I love Pharrell Monch. I love Organized Confusion. I haven't been the biggest fan of Pharrell Monch solo. This made me want like another Pharrell Monch record like immediately. He got Snoop on it. That song is real dope. Havoc, Eric Sermon, Kid Capri, Elzai.
Kid Capri, yeah, yelling on the record?
Of course. Nah, he's doing like the cuts.
Kid Capri.
Yo. Shout out to Kid Capri for being like the Def Comedy Jam DJ and like yelling and pointing at niggas from the balcony. Just Fat Joe, David Banner. He got Lord Tariq and Peter Guns on shit. It. Styles
uptown,
is
baby.
On
talking
it.
About uptown.
Listen, he got mad niggas on his jaw and like. The beats are real ill. He's killing it on the mic, which is dope. Yeah, it's just like if you like Diamond D and you like real good fucking rap, fuck with it. The Pharrell Monch joint, Pharrell Monch joint, and the joint with Buck, Steel, and Rock might be like the two best. The joint with Fat Joe and Raekwon is real ill too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a tape next week coming out that, you know, two people that listeners may be really familiar with.
Okay.
That's featured on it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know, talk about that one next week, but shout out to the homie.
You're not going to say it?
No, the Burlap. What's it called? The Burlap.
Oh, Wino Willie joint. Yeah, oh, Willie and I wasn't following.
Yeah, gosh, keep up, man.
No, when it actually comes out, we gonna talk
next week.
About it.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, yeah, we gonna talk about it. Shout out to my man Charlie.
Yeah, shout out to Charlie. Word. Bigs of the podcast.
Hey, but yeah, rock with us. You know what I mean? We're across platforms. About to be across more. Edit that out. But we on Apple. You know what I'm saying? Spotify, SoundCloud. We all over the place. So yeah, you know, rock with us. Follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow us on Facebook if you're a grandma. You know what I'm saying? And we'll be back next week.
Yep. Peace.
Peace. Me and my fam pick this rap shit.